It's just after the just after 5:30, and of course it's Monday, which means Toronto Mayor John Tory, who joins us Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, is here. A very busy day, Mr. Mayor, so let's start off with your reaction to schools going to virtual learning after the April break. Was this the right call?
I support it. I mean, I this government in particular would not have taken this step without a lot of very careful discussion with the health authorities and with the education authorities, because, you know, I think their strong predisposition, as mine, would be to keep the schools open. But I think that if we want to keep students and families safe from this spreading from the community into the schools, which were, let's remember, you know, the majority of them were quite safe prior to, you know, to this spring break happening, or the April break, I think that this was the right call, and I think it requires a lot of courage on the Premier's part, because I know it's a call they would rather not make, but they've made it because they think it's right for health.
Go ahead, Ryan. I was going to say, are you concerned at all, though, that it doesn't sort of have an end date to it, that this could be weeks and weeks from now?
You know what, Ryan? It is one of the most disturbing, frustrating parts of this whole thing. I mean, there's not an end date sort of theoretically on anything, just because, you know, every time you turn around, something new is happening with respect to these variants and with the virus itself. And, you know, this is an inexact science, because it still is, even though it's a year old, a relatively new virus. The variants are even newer than that. So, yes, of course. I mean, but at the end of the day, the objective is to keep kids safe and healthy, and their teachers. And so, you know, I think the Premier indicated a time frame he was looking at today. But I mean, I think the notion, you know, we have learned some lessons, I think, by setting firm dates and then not carrying through with them. So I think you're sort of darned if you do and darned if you don't. And in this case, they've made the decision for, you know, the first period of time. And then I guess we'll just have to see how everything's going. Yeah, well, we've got, you know, there's a lot of people out there in neighborhoods that are some of the ones that are most disadvantaged and that, of course, have been hardest hit by COVID-19. And they were some of the places where we also had trouble getting people to get tested. So we've gone out and we've retained some of the most respected community organizations in those neighborhoods to help us to get people to get vaccinated. And, you know, they're going to adopt the methods they think best, but it might range from everything from knocking on doors to having these kinds of pop-up clinics they might sponsor in the courtyard of an apartment building to a host of other things. But they know the people best in those neighborhoods, and they are trusted by the people in those neighborhoods. So we're going to count on them to get the vaccination rate in those neighborhoods up much higher than it is.
Dr. Davila, of course, today came out and said that by the end of this month, we could be looking at transmission of 2,500 new cases a day. Obviously, that is worrying and troubling information. What more can be done? Because, you know, I hear a lot of the frustration out there from people. I'm sure you hear it every single day as well. You know, but people are talking about the roads are still packed and there are cars everywhere. Like, if we're in a lockdown and a stay-at-home order, it certainly doesn't have that vibe out there in the general public.
I find the traffic cameras each day, often when I'm waiting to go on CP24, and I'm seeing the traffic cameras, and I think to myself, you know, who are all the people that are going on those roads, because they're not all essential workers. But it may be to my point. I mean, both she and I avoided the temptation, notwithstanding being invited, to speculate on other measures that should be implemented. And, you know, we both said the same thing today, which is that we should really, really focus, and it's to your point, on just going along with and complying with the measures we have in place. And I think if people really did, you know, miss every opportunity not to go to work if they don't have to, you know, cut down the shopping trips to once a week, you know, and so on, I think that's, you know, that those are the measures that have been put in place. And that plus a big push on the vaccinations, which we're all making together, you know, can hopefully make a difference. And she made the point today, of course, that a projection is assuming that you just go along with things unchanged. Well, we are going to be vaccinating thousands more people every day, and hopefully thousands more people every day decide to, you know, follow the public health advice to the maximum extent they can.
Do you feel that some of the confusion that we talked about on Friday has lessened in a way when we talk about vaccines and who's getting vaccines and who has access and who doesn't?
It sort of depends who you are. I think people like us, and I include you guys, myself, I mean, we live this. You discuss it every day. I live with it every day in terms of dealing with it. I think with a lot of people out there, the answer to your question is not yet. And it's one of the reasons why when I met with all the mayors from the greater Toronto-Hamilton area today, we very politely, because we meant it only in a constructive way, said the province maybe should be spending more effort, because they're the only ones that can do it in this great big region of, you know, all these municipalities with all different governments, to say, look, here, you know, go through it, and that way you could understand understand. If you are 50 and you have these characteristics, then you qualify for this. If you are, you know, there's a big question about, well, who that's 18 and above qualifies. Well, that question can be answered in a kind of a very straightforward advertisement, whether it's online or in a newspaper or on radio, to just make sure people do understand that, because I think that it's just confusing. It's confusing for those of us who live with it every day.
I know the system is what it is, and you didn't build it, but is it a case of just way too many people in the kitchen?
No. I think it's a case of a lot of government that we have, and in that sense, you know, there were clearly delineated responsibilities for the different governments. The federal government got the vaccine, the provincial government distributed it and set the rules on priority, and then the municipalities were the people that are responsible for getting needles into people's arms. But the problem is, in this media market, just as an example, you are carrying stories on 1010 about what's going on in York and what's going on in Peel and what's going on in Durham and what's going on in Toronto, and the average listener maybe hears the Pickering York part, they just hear, oh, 18-year-olds or 50-year-olds or, you know, AstraZeneca pharmacies. And I don't blame them for that. I mean, people have a lot on their minds other than all these rules. So I just think it's not that there's too many cooks stirring the broth. It's rather that it's confusing because there are different sets of timetables and clinics and initiatives out there, and that somebody has to make that clear. And we think the best person to do that from that kind of overarching position is the province, that they could say these rules apply to the whole region for 18-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds, because I think as we take the age down, it's actually becoming clearer that, you know, more people are qualified to get vaccinated. We just now want them to do it.
Is it difficult to strike a balance between, you know, variants and COVID-19 numbers spiking and increasing inside of a third wave, and Councillor Josh Matlow talking about, and this is a conversation we had with you last year, about people being able to drink in a park without the worry of being ticketed as the weather gets better?
Yes, I mean, it is difficult, and I'll say the first thing, I don't think there are too many people being given tickets for having a drink in a park. I really don't think so. I mean, I would be surprised if it was more than like almost like a handful. I said at the news conference today, the problem is not with people who are having a glass of wine or a beer in a park. I don't think anybody's bothering with them. I mean, the police and the bylaw people have, by and large, better things to do. I think the problem is with people that are carrying cases of beer and huge quantities of alcohol into the parks. And so that's why when you go about, you know, maybe liberalizing the rules, which, as you know, I've supported for some time, to allow for the glass of wine or the bottle of beer, you have to take into account there are people who, you know, go way beyond that. So I just have said today we have to do it thoughtfully and carefully, but the notion that we should do it, I'm very focused on the pandemic at the moment. I think everybody is, and so it leaves a little less time to do these things thoughtfully and carefully. But, you know, in principle, I think we should be looking at changing these rules for the people who just have a glass of wine or a bottle of beer in a park, and then figure out what to do about those who insist on carrying it in by the case. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen people, like, with cases stacked up, two and three, carrying them into the park. And, you know, unfortunately, that just goes way beyond what we really can allow for the sake of, well, a whole bunch of reasons I think everybody understands.
See, Ryan, don't ruin it for the rest of us.
It wasn't me.
No comment.
Just very quickly, I mean, yep. Were you encouraged about the pop-ups, say, you know, Thorncliffe, for example, that went on over the weekend? Did you learn anything? Were there any learnable moments out of what went on the weekend with vaccinations?
Yes. Make it easy, and there's a whole lot of, make it easy, make it local, and there's a whole lot of people who want to come and get vaccinated. And now there's a challenge with that, because when you have these local pop-up clinics, you know, by definition, you don't make an appointment, so you do get a lineup. You don't see these lineups at our city clinics because everybody has an appointment at a very precise time. But I think it indicates that in those hotspot neighborhoods, people want the vaccination. If we make it available, they will come. So we're just going to keep at that work, and there's going to be more of those, and they're going to be, you know, better each time. But I think the great news is more and more people are getting vaccinated. We're to, I think, 758,000, I think is the number, people now who are have received their first dose, and we're going to be pushing it up from there.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, as always, we thank you for your time.
Thanks.